Yeah. You know when the funky bass line's rolling, Brian's okay. Feeling all right. Get those nice funky bass rhythms right into your butt. It's a healing sound, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're here to heal you guys here on the southern swath of Wisconsin. You're listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I am Brian. That is Luke. You're listening to us on 540 AM as well as 101 FM over on the eastern side of the state. On the western side of the state, the Madisonville area, you're talking about 1580 AM as well as 92.7 FM. And you can always check us out on the Devil Radio app. You can check us out and get that anywhere. And if you're listening on a, an Android device, maybe check out the Shaw version because it asks you when you open it up, go to the Devil Radio app or the Waukesha version. And I choose the Shaw version today because the Devil Radio app is a little buggy today. It'll be
we're working on it. Yeah, we'll get it fixed.
But it's hard to do so while we're on the air. So
yes. For
this hour, let's enjoy it otherwise.
Absolutely.
Anyway,
I'm broadcasting live from the Solidarity Realty Studios here on the near west side of Madison, built out by one fancy Brian. Did a tremendous job. And
I still have to do stuff. I'll be seeing you probably at the end of the week.
Oh, there we go.
Which may lead to another absence from shows. But again, it's for good things. Maybe. We'll see.
I'll just lock you in the studio with no other projects but the show from 2 to 3. So
that's
boom.
Fine. That's fine.
Planned.
That'll work. We can make it happen. I still have to get back here at some point. Okay. So while I was gone, I had a little bit of time to relax. I played a lot of video games, and I blew up my computer.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to go and give a shout-out right now to Dave at Milwaukee PC here in Waukesha. That guy is awesome and has saved my behind.
There you go.
On several occasions. In fact, that entire chain has saved the stations behind on several occasions. But if you have any PC problems, you can check out my guy Dave over at Milwaukee PC in Waukesha.
Fantastic. And Brian, so kind of taking a tangent here.
Please do. So
yesterday's show, one of the things that caught my eye over the weekend, and I discussed it for a couple segments yesterday on Dueling Tangents, was a piece in the New York Times. It was an opinion piece, but backed it up with some pretty great data from Gallup polling about the people complaining about public schools don't have children in the public school system right now. They're complaining. So it's a lot of anti-school conversation and rhetoric being brought up on a specific side, on the right-wing side.
A lot of it is the crowd that maybe walked to school uphill twice.
Somehow, yeah.
Awesome.
That magical school. And that was a part of it. The over 75 age demographic in the Virginia elections was used as an example of how it wasn't actually parents fed up with the school policies in Virginia. It was somebody, whoever the people, and I don't, we'd have to do a little bit more data on that, but whoever the 75-year-old cohort was getting their information from, or wherever, excuse me, they were getting their information from, needed to be examined a little bit more, because it seems like if the media ecosystem was parroting the fact that there is a takeover of schools, and then those 75-year-olds went and voted in the Virginia polls, that was kind of the precursor of the silver surge, not necessarily actual parents of public school children being upset with the policies. And so, to my surprise, we got a piece in the Up North News here in Wisconsin, a outlet for Northern Wisconsin news, try to give you a little bit of information on what's going on in that portion of the state. And saw it this morning, headlined, "Education advocates warn of a, quote, very well-coordinated disinformation campaign against public schools." Julian Emerson over at Up North News. And so I think it perfectly fits into what I was talking about yesterday and where we are now here in the state of Wisconsin. Because yesterday it was not necessarily a news piece from here in Wisconsin. But now we've got this piece that we're going to dive into. But before we do that, we do have a friend on the phones chiming in. We got 844-967-2789. You can join us. You can be like Joe here in Madison. Joe, what's on your mind today?
Actually, this ties in because it has to do with schools. It's schools a little bit higher up, which is our University of Wisconsin-Madison system, which ranked eighth in national research rankings for public and private universities, which is a pretty amazing feat and brought us in, I believe it is the expenditures are $1.3 billion, so university expenditures. Sometimes there's a sense that those people in Madison just You know, they're just wasting their time and wasting their energy. But one of the solutions that's come out of that group of people that are researching at the university is very tangent-like, yet still appropriate, which is the Wisconsin Alumni Magazine points to, quote, the fact that a professor and UW associate professor of pathology at the Carbone Cancer Center has discovered a shark solution to COVID-19. That is using a particular protein that the sharks have that will help us in the next epidemic. And I guess sometimes this stuff is buried away and doesn't get too much attention, but in our University of Wisconsin-Madison system and throughout the state are a lot of really smart people who are doing some really great things, not only for our state and the people within, but also for the world. And looking for a solution for COVID through sharks is pretty amazing. So that's my tangent for the day.
I think that's fantastic. I think we should support as much research as possible, even if not all of it comes out to it's not all supposed to be made for money. You know, sometimes it's things like, I don't know, solving COVID with shark stuff. You know what I mean? Like, these are things we need to do. These are things that are fantastic, and these are things that need to be taught. And you get bogged down when you get caught up in, well, are campuses ever going to have free speech again? Like, when you get caught up in crap like that, which clearly they do have free speech, they wouldn't be. How do you even propose or get through to the point where you're researching shark parts to go and fix COVID if you don't have free speech? You know what I mean? Like, that when you shut down free speech, it's not really a research happy environment. It's not necessarily the most open of learning environments.
Yeah, and even to take it a step further outside of the free speech conversation there, Scott Walker tried to remove the Wisconsin idea out of the state. It wasn't the Constitution that he was trying to amend. I forget what he was trying to. He tried to eliminate the Wisconsin idea. And the fact that he wanted to make everything, he wanted to make the university system, the charter, I believe, is where he was trying to remove it from. But he wanted to make the UW system an output for workers rather than being able to pursue a higher education and uh-huh. the things that can come from that, like Joe's example. And so, yeah, it's really frustrating when you have people belittling the university system.
So with Republican control for like the last 12 years, pretty much, I don't know who's to blame for any problems that happen in our schools. Again, I don't know. The cell phoning is amazing. But again, for a guy, you'd expect cell phoning for a guy who is a perpetual state employee who absolutely hates all state employees. So hooray, Scott Walker. Anyway, let's move on. Hooray, research. And that's awesome. And I really have to applaud. Again, people in academia maybe might know what they're talking about. That's why they're
maybe.
Academia. I don't know. I'm just going to listen to them on the experts things because that's what they're doing. Let's talk to Jill in New Berlin, who is an expert on being Jill in New Berlin. How are you doing, Jill?
I'm doing great. How are you? And welcome back, Brian. I'm
Thank you very much.
You're back.
I feel almost a human again. Thank you.
Awesome. That is so great to hear. I don't know what I'd do without you on the afternoons. So I'm glad you're back. Hope all is well.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
As far as the education topic goes, I'm really concerned about the new head of the Board of Regents for the university. We've seen what happened in other universities when the right gets a hold of that institution. Mitch Daniels took over at Purdue University and immediately started banning books, including things like Noam Chomsky and A People's History and things like that. But as far as the school board issue goes, this was a long time in the making. There's a documentary out there. Several years ago, they made it, and I saw it. But it had to do with Koch Industries and their groups going in just randomly to take over a school board in North Carolina. I don't remember the name of the documentary, but they just kind of blew into town in some small town in North Carolina, just threw a small amount of money in and you know, to an unsuspecting town and took over their entire school board in one election and immediately started, you know, promoting conservative issues and things like that in all the public schools. So this has been, I don't know if it was a trial case, but it's been in the works for several years. And now I think we're just seeing the fruition of it. They've had some successes, so they're just spreading it just like Alec does with political issues, just spreading it nationwide.
Yeah, this is kind of scary. That stuff has happened, I've heard of, and what's worse is when it happens with people that are in your own community. People that live in the same community that come in and haven't had any context. Maybe their kids have been out of school for a really long time, but really want to go in and go and change the school board for the better. And, you know, one of my biggest complaints was, especially the 2016 election, is I always used to tell people, hey, even if Trump wins or if Clinton wins, they're still not going to fix your roads and they're still not going to run your schools. Most people don't know who their mayor is, let alone who's on their school board or if they have a city council. You know, most people don't, and that's really the problem. And those people started to get involved more, and I think they came in involved from maybe a misinformation perspective, and I don't think the people that were actually on the school board in the first place had any idea that this was coming, which is really scary because that's what it looks like right now. It looks like you have a bunch of frightened school board members and a bunch of yelling parents that maybe don't even... You don't even know where they're coming from or where if they even have a kid there. And if their kid is there, how is that even helping them? How's that helping anyone?
Right.
What are you trying to do here? What is the end product here? And if at the end of the day, your kids don't feel right about it, it doesn't matter. But again, someone tried to tell me about this book that oh my gosh, they're going to indoctrinate kids with. And I'm like, this book hasn't come into play with my kid because I pay attention to my kid and I talk to the teacher all the time. That's
right.
my goodness, how amazing things can work out if you just participate, just minimally at least, in your kid's life.
Right. I agree. So. I agree with everything you just said. And it kind of flies in the face of the Republican demand for local control. Well, here in New Berlin, we had a taxpayer alliance group about 8 years ago come in and just put a bunch of candidates on the school board. And like you said, they had the money to get signs out and you know, promote these people. None of them had kids in the school district. One of them was teleconferencing from New York.
Didn't
even live in the community. Yeah, and you're right, the local people, they see the names on the signs. They have no idea what's going on in the schools, especially if they don't have kids, school-age kids. And there you go. So
yeah,
they never had a shutdown for COVID because the school board wouldn't allow it.
And the worst part is that there's so many people right now who, and thank you very much for the call, Jill, that so many people that have kids in school that don't have the time to be at every school board meeting, that you know you have two parents that work or even a single family, that you know you can only be so involved physically because you can't be in several places at a time,
right?
And that's taken advantage of because you know people don't get a chance to get their voices heard there,
right? And I think that's the one of the bigger points is there's organized efforts to coordinate these campaigns, spend little dollars here or there, and then get these people that necessarily don't have kids in the system to try to overhaul because of a very, very small group of parents' concerns that, and we're going to dive more into this piece, but we're taking your calls as well. 844-967-2789. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I got Brian back with me this Tuesday afternoon. I'm taking your calls as well. One more segment left of the day. We'll be right back.